Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Good morning. Welcome in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody had a great 3-day weekend. I know I did, even though the weather didn't always participate or cooperate. Good morning to you, Randy. How are
you? What's happening, man? Yeah, man. Hopefully everybody had a great one. Like I said, the weather did what it wanted to do, man. And hopefully you got to do it, got it in, and all those other different things, man. No, we had a good time. Tired. Took all day yesterday to try to recover. Mm-hmm. Took two, like, hour and a half naps yesterday, man. Then went to bed early. So I'm feeling all spry and good right now.
Yeah, so you're back.
My bounce back game feeling like I was 26 right now.
You know who else is probably feeling good today? Bo Johnson.
Yes.
Happy birthday to our brother, man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Bo.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually am feeling great this morning. So I woke up this morning. So my alarm's set for a specific time. Uh-huh. Olivia's at the house. They're in no school, whatever.
Right,
we
got
softball tonight. So my alarm's set for a specific time. She knows exactly what time I had my alarm set for. She got up at 6 a.m., made pancakes and eggs.
Yeah. Huh.
And as soon as the time that my alarm goes off, like it goes off, I'm wiping the crust out of my eyes and sitting on the edge of the bed, she comes barreling into my room and jumps on me. Happy birthday.
That's awesome.
She had candles sticking out of pancakes and boiled eggs because she knows I bring boiled eggs to work. Right? Candles sticking out of pancakes. There's presents on the table I didn't get to yet because they're from everybody that's already gone for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what sucks is I was like, all right, hey, thanks, Juice. And then I had to pack them up in Ziploc bags and throw my bag and come to work.
Awesome.
But that's so cool.
But that's awesome.
That's a perfect way to start.
That's the perfect way to start it, man.
We had the opposite start. Well, maybe not. You had the opposite start. We had a little bit of a different start at our house because, like you talked about, today kind of the first day post school, right? So, what do you do? What's everybody up to? Where are you going? She's doing summer camp. Not excited about summer camp.
Really? No. Didn't want to do it.
Anything different is hard at first for her. She's not a big fan of, I was doing this, and now I have to do this. Whether it's like transitions in the day or it's changes like that, whatever, she doesn't like it. And then after 5 minutes, she's fine. But she went to bed at like 8 last night and got up at 8:15 this morning. 12 hours and 15 minutes of sleep.
Hell yeah.
I was like, I've never seen such a thing. Because I always wake her up, when there's a hard start for school. You got to be at school at 7:45.
Yeah.
But with no, summer camp, come whenever you want. I was like, well, I'll just let her sleep, see how long this goes for. Like 8 o'clock rolled around, I was like, all right, we gotta wake her up.
Yeah, she might have still been sleeping.
Well, she didn't want to go. So I think every time she woke up, she was just like, I'll just go back to sleep and maybe dad'll forget.
It was
a good try though.
The social butterfly she is. I'm surprised at that. Yeah. We had one of those, LeBed's big boy bed now. And I heard a thump thump at like 6:15. I'm like, oh hell, he'll fill out the bed. And so I'm getting out the chair to go, and I just hear him at the top of the stairs yelling, Daddy! I'm like, okay, I'm on the way, dog. And as I'm going up the stairs, I just start, I'm like, oh, hell. What does that smell? This dude then had, like, one of them, like, newborn blowouts that the newborn baby have in their diaper, and they go all the way up their back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my good dude. It was a long morning. Long, long, long morning.
It's a tough way to.
Yeah, man. It's a tough way to start your day.
Starts
your Tuesday. But it is Tuesday, not Monday.
That's being a dad, though.
Yeah, man. But I was like, why'd you
holler? From sleep to disaster.
Why'd you
holler at
mommy? Daddy!
This is mom's area of expertise.
Yeah, dog, man. But we got them all cleaned up, got the rug out of there, had to wash everything, threw the rug away. Had to wash all the clothes and everything.
Yeah. Sometimes
like that.
It's better just,
yeah, just
to
throw
toss stuff
away,
yeah,
man.
That's
luckily, it's trash day today, too.
Yeah.
So just throw the thing in there.
We'll get a new one.
And get it done.
Just grab it. I don't know that I would describe the Braves series over the weekend of the Padres as a newborn diaper blowout.
Yeah.
But it wasn't great.
Right.
Like, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was great. Like, Ronald Acuna was back. First pitch Friday night.
Dude.
Gone.
Unbelievable
moment.
We were sitting outside and we were outside and I mean, I was just like, okay, come on, Ronnie. And as soon as he hit that damn ball, we lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Just started screaming and yelling and everything like that, man, because it was just just special.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It was just special. It was awesome.
A great player doing a great thing.
Yes. And then they didn't get another hit after that.
None.
They got a hit on the first pitch of the game.
That's right.
And then no more runs.
And they decided they were good.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah, Ronnie, let's let him have his thing, the celebrate and all those different things. Listen to that, ain't mad. We don't want to participate. This is your night, Ronnie.
It's your moment, Ronnie.
It's your night.
Anybody want to come? Nope.
Nah.
Well, you're good.
Nah.
We're done scoring, which has been kind of typical of a Chris Sale start the last month or so.
Like, he was awesome.
Chris Sale deals. The offense scores zero runs. They lose the game. Yes. And unfortunately, that's what happened on Friday night. Cunha hit another one on Saturday.
Yeah.
They won that one. Yes. That was nice.
Everybody got into it.
Yeah, that was nice. It was nice to see them pad the lead a little bit on Saturday. Haven't had very many wins like that. I think half of their games this season, wins and losses, have been one-run games. So they've been playing tight ball games, and they've got more wins and extra innings this year than anybody in baseball. But then to come back Sunday, and lose the rubber match, it's frustrating. I mean, all the excitement of Acuña being back is there, and it doesn't take away from it for me. Like, that was a great weekend. Unfortunately, kind of the same result, though. Even with him in there, kind of the same result, kind of the same performance. I know the Padres are pretty good. They came into the series losing seven in a row, but they got right with that victory, or that series victory over the weekend. Day off, and Memorial Day is always kind of the time where
you kind of know.
You can kind of look at the standings a little bit. Baseball's just so damn long. It's hard to get too bogged down in how many games you are out in April. But it's not April anymore.
No.
Memorial Day happened, and you're 8.5 games out.
Yeah.
So
you got to get
everybody's back
they've
now.
Caught,
so
they've
it's
caught,
time to start getting together.
They caught teams before this far back and everything like that. You know. But yeah, it's like, but obviously Ronnie being back, but your starters are giving you long outings. They're giving you 7+ innings, which is good because of how ragged it is, that damn bullpen is. And all three of them did it this weekend, which was good and clean. The Austin Riley era. I mean, I don't like the wanting to make it seem like Schnitt was talking about the grounds crew was just amazing. I said, you took that from what he said.
But isn't that what we said, though?
That's what we said. Remember how I kept saying?
We said that like a week ago.
I was like, it damn.
Infield looks a little bouncy.
Infield is getting real funny hops off of it, you know? And that was just an observation that I had. I didn't think nothing of it.
I don't think Schnitt was saying the grounds crew's doing a bad job.
No.
But I think that there's some area between, like, the grounds crew's doing a terrible job and there's no blame to be on Austin Riley.
Yeah.
The guy's been getting some bad hops.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know why. But it is something that we had noticed.
Yeah. I was just curious if that was the case or something like that,
hops.
Man. It's just real. It's real. They got a springy infield.
They got some gravelly dirt over there,
man,
or something like that.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this. I bet the grounds. I know they're on the road right now, but I bet the grounds crew is going to be
extra overtime,
extra reiky, or whatever
extra
you do.
Reiky.
You know those like little. Those little rakes they pull behind them, you know?
Yeah.
They don't have normal rakes we have in the garden. They've got, like, those fancy ones that pull behind you, you know?
They got to figure something out, man.
Get that dirt real finely grained.
Yeah, but they got to figure something out, man. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you know, I mean, this team is as whole as it's going to be as far as when you talk about your main contributors to this team. Now, there's going to be some moves and everything.
Yeah, you're going to get Profar back.
Yeah, you're going to get Profar and those guys back. But I think as of right now, this is what you're going with. Seems like Ronnie, because I know they asked him, asked Nick if he was going to go and everything on the third day. And he was like, I feel good. And then I forgot who it was. Said, well, Ronald Acuña's not going to tell you he's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie's not going to go to Snick. Yeah, I don't feel. Them 2 days was enough for me. No, he wants to play. So, yeah, he's going to be in there. You know, it's not no days off or anything like that. But, yeah, he's going to be in there. And you saw just the energy and everything that he brings as far as his ability to get on base, hit the ball. I don't understand why the guy was running on. I know he ain't been out there in a while.
I guess he thought he hurt his arm.
I guess he hurt his arm, too. No, the arm
I don't know.
Ronnie just hoses him down.
Yeah.
You know, so that, I think just, you know, the disappointment of losing the series is definitely there. But I think just the fact of him being there kind of levels it out a little bit more for me.
100%.
You know, just 100%. Having him back in the lineup and just going forward. Again, this is how this team is going to be. We got another guy coming back. Spencer Strider's going tonight. You know, hopefully he can continue to bounce back from whatever's going on with him with his re-entrance into the lineup and try to, you know, continually, because it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be a struggle for him because he's too damn good. But like last time, just like the first time we saw him, you could tell he hasn't pitched in a while.
Yeah, it's funny. It didn't look like that with Ronald.
Yeah.
You know, because we kind of did our – we tempered our expectations.
He looks a lot better than he did the last ACL.
He looks better than he looked at any point last season.
Yes, yes.
And that's, to me, the weird thing about, you know, obviously he got hurt like 50 games into the year last year and was out for a year and all of that. It's still, because we are starting to get like concerned and have questions about what's going on with Ronald Acuña, even before he got hurt last year. Because remember, he played 50 games. Yeah. He batted like 2-something. He had 4 home runs, and he's got half as many home runs last weekend as he had all of last year before he got injured. Like, I don't know. And remember, before last season started, he went and saw the doctor again because he was having some weird knee stuff. You can't convince me fully that he was 100% healthy last season when he played. And then he got hurt, obviously, and it is what it is. But yeah, no, he looks better right now than he looked at any point in 2024.
Right.
He looks way better than he did when he came back from his ACL injury the first time.
Definitely.
I'm not going to sit here and say he looks like 2023 Acuña. I don't know that he ever will, because I don't know that they're going to let him steal bases like that anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that might be a little bit of a – he'll still steal bases, but he's not going to steal bases like that probably. So I think like a year like that is probably, you know, probably not realistic. That doesn't mean that he can't do other things that make up for it, but he looked great.
Looked fine.
He looked great.
Yeah.
He looked good in the field. His arm looked awesome. Obviously he hits the home runs, had a double on Sunday, had a single as well on Friday night. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's going to be some games where he doesn't look like Ronald Acuña.
I don't care. He's out there.
Yeah, but he's out there.
Yeah, he's out there.
And again, like, it's not so much like, well, physically he clearly has it physically. So there's going to be some ups and downs just because it's baseball.
The strikeouts were there.
But he looks great. He looks great. And Ozzie Albies right on time, because as soon as Ronald Acuña, for whatever reason, the direct correlation between Acuña being in the lineup and Ozzie Albies hitting the baseball is right there. Because he is on an 11-game hitting streak since that 0-for-28, but really kind of showed a little bit of the pop on Sunday that we hadn't seen. Sunday was the first game Ozzie Albies has had all year where he had multiple extra base hits, which is crazy for a guy that's had 30 home run seasons before.
Yes.
So hopefully that power is starting to come back a little bit. Olsen's heating up.
Yes.
Like,
Apo Taco, baby.
But, you know, all that is true. Now let's, you know, put it together.
String some stuff together.
A little bit.
String some stuff together.
It feels like things are kind of clicking a little bit, but still losing series, and you're still with 2 games under 500. So
yeah, comfortably under 500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8.5 back of the Phillies. Can kind of start looking at that now. Got the Phillies for 3, though.
Yes.
So by Thursday.
Who are doing really. Oh, damn.
Yes, the Phillies have won.
Yeah, they lost last night, I think.
Yeah, but going into that, I think they had won like 11 in a row or something like that.
That damn Ranger Suarez right on time.
Yeah.
I always got.
I know. Ranger Suarez. Zach Wheeler.
Yes.
And then one other guy.
Tajon Walker.
I think that's wrong. But that's all right. Strider, Shaver, and Chris Sale going for the Braves. So should be a good pitching matchup the next 3 days as well. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday. We'll come back and get you caught up on everything that's trending here to start the show. Sports Radio 92.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Nine the game.
Here he is, the long-awaited moment. Acuña back to the plate. Look at this! Are you kidding me? He is back! I have goosebumps. I have goosebumps.
Some guys are just meant for the moments. Ronald Acuña Jr. is one of those guys. What a tone setter. Welcome back, number 13. That's like out of a movie.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Just an incredible moment on Friday. I best moment of the Braves season.
Hell yeah.
Not even a question on that. Might be the best. Is it the best Atlanta sports moment of 2025 so far?
I can't think of any more.
Neither can I.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
like,
more.
I mean, probably. It's early in 2025. The football season hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I mean, that was just great. It was a jolt to the system.
Just absolutely destroyed that baseball.
It was a jolt to the system.
And I guess everyone on the radio station predicted it. I know you did.
But you
I
heard
guess,
me.
I heard you say it.
Yeah.
I heard you say it. I said I was going to put some money on the first pitch. I didn't do that. Should have. Wish I would have. I did convince my wife, because she heard that segment.
Uh-huh.
She was like, hey, did you really you put some money on the first pitch swing? I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to swing at the first pitch.
Yep.
She was like, how much did you bet?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you saw the direct deposit today. Like, it was a good Friday.
Right.
She was like, how much did you bet? And I was like, only a couple $100s.
Right.
And she was like, do you bet a couple $100s that Ronald Acuna is going to swing at the first pitch of the game? And I was like, I walked in the room, I was like, yeah, I mean, you know me way better than this,
okay,
right? Like,
right.
But I got her going.
Yeah.
It was good. I was like, no, I didn't bet any money that Ronald Acuna was going to swing at the first pitch of the game. But he did, and he parked it,
yeah.
And that was really fun. Yeah. Unfortunately, they didn't score any more runs that
day. Not a damn another run, Andy.
And they lost on Sunday, too. but nonetheless, Ronald Acuna's back.
I'm taking Saturday with me. The second game,
Saturday
too,
was good.
Because it was good, because everybody got in on it. I remember they were talking, only person who doesn't have a hit is Michael Harris. Michael Harris gets up there, pow.
Yeah.
Everybody got a hit. RBIs galore. Everything is good. Grant Holmes was awesome.
Really good. He was really good again.
Awesome. And they that's what it looks like in my mind. That right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Saturday is Saturday what the offense should look like.
Is what it should like in my mind. You
and
know?
You make a great point about Harris being a part of it too. Because as it sort of, I mean, it's just felt like the slowest start, you know? Just when one thing maybe starts going, something else falls back. This thing gets going. Maybe Acuna being back, Ozzie heating up, like maybe it'll all kind of start working in the same direction. Ozzie's a huge part of it because Ozzie is a, you know, he's a guy in this lineup that needs to produce for the lineup to be good.
Correct.
Michael Harris, the same thing.
Yes.
And Ozzie, at least right now, 11-game hitting streak, kind of looking like he's heating up a little bit. Hopefully Harris can kind of find that too and be a part of it, because then those guys get going. You got Drake Baldwin in there or Murphy or whatever. Like that's a seven deep lineup at that point.
Yeah.
And then you're platooning Verdugo and White theoretically against their better, you know, the pitching matchup that favors them, even though they're both best against right-handed pitching.
Correct.
But whatever. So they'll figure kind of that. And then, look, Nick Allen's going to play.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Yeah, man.
He's kind of our new Orlando RC.
Yeah, he is, man. Speaking of Orlando, they just like, I mean, was it one of the things where Orlando would, hey, listen here, Alex. Y'all ain't going to play, but let me go.
Well, yeah.
Like, they just like.
Well, they DFA'd him.
They DFA'd him, and then, like.
Nobody claimed him.
Like, yeah, you can't even go to Gwinnett. We want you out of here. And then he goes to the Colorado Rockies, where he's going to be their new starting shortstop.
Probably.
And watch him, you know. Never mind. I ain't even going to put that out there in that ether like he's going to do well.
He might.
I mean,
they are the worst team in the history of baseball.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
So
yeah, they're pretty bad.
But
maybe he slides over to third. Chris Bryant still hurt.
Yeah,
can't get on the field.
Chris Bryant's been hurt since they signed him.
He's going to get his opportunities.
He got hurt at the contract signing.
Pretty much.
The pin stuck him in the leg, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, dang. All these millions. They're too heavy to carry around.
Oh.
This light air. Nobody told me about the altitude.
That's all that is.
He's been catching.
It hurts since they signed a damn contract.
Check still clears, though? Does?
Oh,
okay, great. In terms of cities to play in Major League Baseball,
Denver's a nice city.
Denver's not bad.
Yeah
you could do
nice
way worse than Denver.
Yeah, Denver's a real nice city.
Good for Orlando RC.
Keep going to Sacramento.
Could be Sacramento.
Yeah, playing for the A's.
Yeah, could be, what are some other crap? Cincinnati would be bad.
Pittsburgh,
yeah, it's all right. Pittsburgh's okay.
Oh, we're talking about cities. I'm sorry. My
franchise
bad,
terrible.
My bad, Pittsburgh people. My bad, y'all. My bad.
Where else? We go? Anyway, so the Braves lost the series. Day off yesterday. They got the Phillies today. And the Phillies are playing some pretty good baseball.
Yeah, they
so it'll be a nice time for everything to get kickstarted. Spencer Strider's on the mound tonight. Would love to see him have his best start so far. He's only made two. But hopefully this is the one where he gets going as well. Hey, speaking of kickstarted, pun intended, great to hear this over the weekend.
Schleese taps it into the central channel. Cleared by Edwards to Mateus Click. Click sending it ahead. Jamal Thierry down the middle. One through the keeper. Jamal shot. Score! Score! It's over. The winless streak is over.
Dude.
Atlanta United is going to beat Cincinnati.
Dude.
Thank goodness.
As exhausted as Mike sounded in that call is how exhausted we were watching this team not win a game. And when I saw how long it has been since they've won a damn soccer game, I was like, there's no way in hell that people who have jobs when it's been that damn long since they won a damn soccer game.
They went 57 days without winning a game.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Pair that with the hype coming into the year. It's like, dang,
exactly.
Did not see that coming. But
yeah.
Good to see that. And Cincinnati's a good team.
They are.
That they beat over the weekend, too. So, look, I mean, we all want any good thing to be the thing that starts the lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to declare this that.
Hell no.
But hopefully it is. Maybe like a month from now, they'll be like, hey, that win over Cincinnati was the spark.
I mean, but that's all we got going.
That's all you got.
Yeah, that's all you got right now. And so hopefully that is it. I mean, it's a quick turnaround. Obviously got a match tomorrow.
I think that's good.
So
play while
is.
You're hot.
Yeah, just keep going, keep the pressure on and things like that. But yeah, when I saw how long it had been, How long have they been since Mike had one of those?
I know, and you could hear it in his
voice,
too.
You
could
hear his voice. Like, how long has it been since he had one of those?
Mike needed that as much as they did. You know, like, there was a lot of frustration being let out during that call. Mike will join us in 10 minutes as well. Obviously, we'll talk some Atlanta United with him. Some Hawks, some NBA playoffs, all kinds of different stuff. Speaking of NBA playoffs, I don't know what I enjoyed more. No, actually, I do. I do know what I enjoyed more. I enjoyed Karl Anthony Towns' 20-point performance in the fourth quarter.
It was awesome.
But I much more enjoyed all of our listeners.
Oh, my God.
Just bombarding us with memes and stuff over the next couple of days afterwards. Dude. That pass that he threw.
And the thing about it was, I didn't see, like, because we had people over, so I was going in and out, so I didn't get to see a lot of it. But then I wake up yesterday morning, and I am just getting all these these videos of Karl Anthony Towns, not him balling, because he
balled. He won the
balled.
Game. He dragged them back from dead in that basketball game.
But the damn video of him with that pass. And all, like, I just started laughing so damn hard because Asha was like,
how could he be so sassy?
How could he be so sassy with that pad? It was just
the sassiest no look. Not even no look. It's like,
it was just, it was,
His shoulders are sassy.
Yes, man. He's saucy as hell, man. He put the extra sauce on.
He did.
But did. And they keep popping up, y'all. Okay, I synced it. Everybody, I got like 12 of them.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And they're all great.
And they're all funny. It is the same clip. And everybody just put print sound in here. And it just makes me damn
Somebody
laugh.
Just do it, though. You know? Like,
yeah,
you guys
man.
Can do it. You
got I don't know how to do all that stuff.
I don't know how to do it, but somebody out there does.
Man, but yeah.
Take the Karl Anthony Towns pass where his whole body is as sassy as like a beauty queen. And then put the print sound in it. And send it to us, okay? That's what we need. Don't be doing the half the work. Do all of it.
Dog. I mean, I was just dying.
Anyway, here
I was dying.
Here he
man.
Is balling out.
Towns between the legs, dribble up top, snatch back three-pointer straight on, nailed it! What a shot from Karl Anthony Towns! An unbelievable do-or-die fourth quarter from Towns. He has 20 points in the last 7 minutes, and the Knicks lead 94-90.
He was great, man.
He was.
And again, they needed it. They were down 20 points in the second half, down 0-2 in the series after losing both games at Madison Square Garden. Like, it looked like a sweep was incoming. And then Karl Anthony Towns did what he did in the fourth. They scrapped and clawed their way back into the game. It's weird how two of their biggest runs in the series, extending the lead in game one, extending the lead in game one that they ultimately lost, and then coming back in this game coincided with Jalen Brunson not playing.
And that's this crap that you're saying. Should they got to figure out a way to, and I heard somebody and kind of stagger their minutes a little bit. Mm. You know, we're talking about, you're not for the bench Brunson. I mean,
that's not what I was saying.
No, I'm not saying you said
oh, okay.
that.
I was like, hey, man.
No, I was like,
hey, man.
I heard that. I was like, huh?
Yeah, no, of course not.
No.
I'm just saying it's weird that happened.
It's not really because he's such a liability on the defensive side. And then so is Kat. And so when you got two of the five that are, you know, you got to figure out a way. Because I think they're both plus when each other's off the court, and they're minus when they're both on the court at the same time. So yeah, you got to figure that out. But yeah, this is a great performance by Karl Anthony Towns. He was just aggressive offensively. He was giving Miles Turner the business.
Yes,
he was giving him the business. And so now, what's my man who hit all the threes the other day? That's why he went down in the game for Indiana. So that's a big deal because he's the one that guards Brunson.
Oh yeah, Nesmith.
Yeah, he's the one that guards Brunson, mm-hmm. And so
game time decision.
How's that going to be with that ankle? But yeah, I mean, the Knicks, they fought back and things like that. Indiana, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
They had an opportunity to sweep these guys right out of the playoffs and get a chance to rest possibly. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much longer the Western Series is going either. A really nice win for Minnesota, desperately needed it in game three. You know, OKC was just better last night.
They still should have won.
They're just tougher, man. They made more plays down the stretch.
And damn, like, we talked about this before this series. Who's number two is going to show up?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Well, hey, Jalen is showing his
ass. Great
ass.
Last night.
Where's my boy, man? Hey, five points.
Yeah.
5 points.
I know. I feel bad because Julius Randle is probably playing some of the best basketball of his life in the first couple rounds. Like,
yes.
Really felt like he figured it out from an efficiency standpoint.
Yes.
And then Oklahoma City was like, hey, let's just not let him go left ever.
Mm-mm.
And they can't do anything now.
Can't do nothing.
It's crazy how easy it is to take some of these things away from these
can't
guys.
Can't do nothing. I know we're going to talk more
Julius
NBA.
Julius had five last night.
We're going to talk more NBA 12-20 because that Ant-Man sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's where he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong in what he said, but it's also like, all right, you know, but You got to
score more.
Take the bad shot sometimes. Like, you made the right play, kind of, by the book, but the right play might be you just doing more, which, you know, easier said than done. Mike Conte will join us next. We'll talk about Atlanta United getting a win, talk some Hawks, talk some NBA playoffs, talk about the weekend, all kinds of fun stuff with Conte after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get back.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Back into some NBA playoff conversation at 12:20 as well. Do want to, at some point, because I know Brandon Adams is going to join us at 1:20, as he always does, to talk some college football and some Georgia and all that. But the meetings, the SEC meetings are going on.
Somebody
down
in feelings.
In Destin. Yeah, and Greg Sankey's fired up, man. Like, which seems like all of the questions he was asked, you would have expected to be asked,
right.
But he probably, it's also calculated, and he says what he says on purpose. But anyway, we'll get to some of that stuff coming up in the 12 o'clock hour as well. But right now, as we always do on Tuesdays, Mike Conte steps in studio and speaks with us. Mike, how are you?
Good to see you guys. Happy birthday, Bo.
Happy birthday to Bo.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
A little maybe more pep in the step today. Felt good to get the win over the weekend.
It's like I told Jason after the game on Sunday. I forgot what that felt like. I forgot what it felt like to do a game like that.
You could hear it in your, and obviously it was a great moment, but you could hear it in your goal call for sure.
It was a
great call.
Honestly, it's a little embarrassing. I mean, that's the kind of call you have when you win MLS Cup, not when you win a regular season game. But it just,
it's been so long, Mike.
I know. It was a relief.
It was a relief.
And Cincinnati's a good team. That's a really good win. For whatever reason, Atlanta United seemed to have Cincinnati's number this year. When they played up there, it was a 2-2 draw in Atlanta. Had a really weird call go against them in the first half where they probably should have had a penalty. It could have been even a win up there. So I guess it just reminded you and showed you what this could still be or what it was supposed to be or what it could potentially be. I don't know. It was nice. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I'm a big advocate of playing on Sunday nights. On holiday weekends, that was fun too. We'll see what happens now tomorrow against Orlando, a team that has been very, very stingy in giving up goals. But Cincinnati was also very stingy in giving up goals, and Atlanta United broke them down four times. And not a single designated player scored for Atlanta United on Sunday, which is also very interesting.
What was the difference, Mike? Obviously, when you scored more goals, all right. But what did you see noticeably that made it look different this time?
Well, I think this started last Saturday against Philadelphia, and that was a loss. It was a 1-0 loss. But I think there have been just a few subtle little positional tweaks that Ronnie Dyla has made, not necessarily changing the shape of the team, but just altering the positioning a little bit, playing everyone just a teeny bit higher. I thought Saba playing in that right wing back position that sometimes you'll see Brooks Lennon play when they go to a three-man back line. I thought Saba had a phenomenal game. The positioning, for whatever reason, seemed to unlock some things in the midfield. I also think Jay Fortune being in the lineup probably helped a lot. Jay, I think, has been absolutely phenomenal for Atlanta United. Glad to see he got a goal on Sunday. Just a few minor little tweaks with just positioning. Not formation, not really even personnel. A little bit of positional changes seems to be working right now. Again, you got to build on this. I mean, if you go out tomorrow and you lose 3-0 to Orlando, then, you know, we're right back at square one, in my opinion. But if you look at their last three games, comeback draw on the road, Austin's not bad. They're not great, but they're not bad. You get a comeback draw on the road against them in 110-degree weather. That's a pretty good result. Thought you outplayed Philadelphia, certainly an open play, and you played really well against Cincinnati on Sunday. So you've had three pretty decent performances now in a row. You've got to keep this going. And it's tough because it's very, very seldom when you have to play three matches in 7 days. And that's what Atlanta United's doing, and the final one is on the road. Mm-hmm. So this is a very tough week for them.
It's a good time to be playing good, right? Yeah. If you can sort of bottle it and get it all in that seven-game stretch or seven-day stretch, maybe it will come out of that week feeling better about their position.
Who's going to be up and down as far as the rest period right now? Like,
I thought it was interesting they subbed Almirón out of the game on Sunday. That's the first time they've taken him out all year.
Right.
That, to me, felt like, okay, we're up. Let's try to hold on and buy Miggy a little bit of rest because we're going to need him tomorrow and Saturday. Outside of that, Schleish and Click might interchange if they're really worried about how they're going to rotate and manage minutes. I don't think you're necessarily in the position where you want to take Latte Lott out of the group. The disciplinary committee may make that decision for you later today. We'll find out. And for the record, I don't think Latte Lott should be suspended. I know the Cincinnati fans there are Cincinnati fans claiming that Latte Lott should face criminal charges for the incident with Nick Hagelin on Sunday. It's really unfortunate that Hagelin, the Cincinnati player, broke his ribs and had a collapsed lung. Mm-hmm. That's really unfortunate. Hate to hear that. But Latte Lott didn't foul him. It was checked by the VAR. That wasn't declared to be a foul. So just because someone got hurt seriously
doesn't mean
the disciplinary committee should just automatically, we're going to suspend him.
Makes that call then? Like, how was – if it wasn't a penalty, it wasn't all that.
There's this committee of, and I forget who exactly is on it, but it's a committee of like a league official. I think there's a team official, maybe a player on it. I don't know. A play could be referred to the disciplinary committee for review. Usually the disciplinary committee, all they do is fine people for not leaving the pitch in an orderly fashion after they get a red card. But there are occasions where a play could be submitted and they can look at it and issue a fine or a penalty for, say, simulation or embellishment or, enhancing a red card and making it a multi-game suspension. Because there was no foul and no card shown to Latte Lott, I don't know how the disciplinary committee could intervene in this case. Again, the referee and the VAR and the AR all agreed no foul. But that is just something to keep an eye on today. If something were to happen there, then you're probably looking at TRA playing on Wednesday. And Kamen Togashi has been really, really good with the second team. He had a big game Sunday night against Orlando. So maybe to answer Randy's question, you see a little bit of rotation there. But I think, Saba hasn't played a whole lot. He's been on the bench a lot lately. So you probably feel good with where he is right now. If you have to play him 180 more minutes the rest of this week,
right,
you'll figure it out on left wing. And that could be Jay Fortune. He's young. He can give you that. Matt Edwards can give you that. Your center backs, you don't really worry about, their work rate. If there was going to be any kind of rotation, Randy, I think maybe Click for Schleish in the midfield. And that would be probably about it right now.
Mike Conte joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking a little Atlanta United, coming out of their first win in a while. Hopefully can make it two in a row tomorrow. NBA playoffs, I think, have been really, really interesting. Some unexpected stuff for sure.
Especially in the East.
Yeah, no doubt. I do wonder, just kind of from a big picture perspective, I know last week we talked a bit about how the four teams were constructed in getting to the conference finals. But we found out, and we knew it was going to happen, we found out after we talked last week that SGA is the MVP. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a seventh different champion in seven years this season. I just kind of wonder, I'm always interested to get your perspective on some of this bigger picture stuff. Like, as you watch these playoffs in the context of all of that change, like, how are you enjoying it, and what's sort of on your mind?
I love it. I think it's very interesting. I think, again, just being completely neutral, I don't have a rooting interest for or against any of these teams left. The theater of this Knicks-Pacers series has been absolutely fascinating with all the blown leads and all the drama of playing at Madison Square Garden and Indiana winning twice there, and then Indiana bottling an opportunity to basically end the series by blowing a 20-point lead on Sunday night. And then on top of it, you have just the beauty of Kevin Harlan. It's just so watchable. It's so enjoyable. The Western Conference nothing surprises me about the way that Western Conference final has unfolded. I thought OKC was the very heavy favorite going into that. But again, the thing I love about OKC, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is a superstar. Outside of that, you've done such a good job as Sam Presti, their general manager, of drafting for need and finding a way for it to work from a chemistry standpoint. I look at the Thunder as a team. Boy, they like each other a lot.
Yes.
And they like playing together a lot. And that is important. And we've seen a lot of NBA teams over the years, talented NBA teams, implode because they don't like each other. That might be the intangible that puts Oklahoma City over the top. You know, one other thing that stands out to me, though, Andy, about just where the league has gone in general, SGA being the MVP, how many consecutive years is that now where the MVP of the NBA has not been an American?
Also seven.
Also.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. And Randy asked a good question last week. It was like, are those things like seven straight years of a different champion,
yeah,
which we're coming out of an era where it was kind of dynasty after dynasty,
yeah,
and then seven straight years of a non-American MVP. Like, are those things related? I don't know if they're related, but I think they speak to how much the NBA is changing.
Yeah, well, and I'll take it a step further. It's going to be the seventh different champion in 7 years. I think it's also the 11th different finals company or 11th different team to make a finals in the last 7 years. We very rarely had repeat finalists. I think the Heat are the only repeat Eastern Conference finalists in that seven-year span. And in the West, maybe Golden State.
Maybe,
I was looking at that the other day because
probably because they lost in 19 and they won in 22.
I think it's Miami and Golden State. And they've only been there twice each. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, one team went there five times. I think the talent pool right now is so heavy in the NBA. There are so many outstanding players in this league. The difference between maybe one generation ago to now, like let's go back one generation, about 20 years to where San Antonio was really dominating and it was starting to transition to Golden State. And prior to San Antonio really dominating, it was the Chicago Bulls. Okay. Well, the Bulls, it was Jordan and Pippen. San Antonio was Duncan and Robinson. And then, you know, Golden State, it was the Splash Brothers. All of them were American. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you fast forward one generation. The talent pool is so much larger now because internationally they've caught up to us.
Right.
Okay. And that's a good thing, by the way. Might not be fun to watch in the Olympics, you know, when you need Steph Curry to go off in the fourth quarter to beat France and win you a gold medal. That might not be fun.
I think that's way more fun to watch.
I mean, it's fun to watch.
A team by 40.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, but I want to dominate. You know, we're America. We should dominate at basketball, but I get it. You know, it's definitely made it for a more entertaining product. But I think as you have seen France, Greece, Argentina, Spain, Serbia catch up to us, that had at Canada. I mean, look at Team Canada in the Olympics. How did that team not medal? I mean, they had Shea Gilgeous and Dylan Brooks, and like they had a really, really nice team. How did they not medal? That has enhanced the talent pool. With more talent comes less of a need to have the big three. Mm. And again, OKC, I think, is the example that proves this. OKC, you know, they don't really have a superstar outside of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, but their 2 through 12 all really, really solid, and they play well together.
Is it time for him to win one, though, Presti? Because, I mean, this is his second iteration of, like,
he's doing
players.
It a different way.
Yeah, we're doing it a different way this time.
And look, they were a little bit unlucky because when they peaked the first time, you have LeBron and the super team in Miami. That's a little bit unlucky. But now looking back on it, from a chemistry standpoint, it's almost remarkable that they were able to get to the finals with Westbrook, Harden, and Durant. Three ball-dominant players who don't share, and one of them notoriously a player who doesn't play well with anyone. It's almost remarkable that they got to the finals.
Then he demanded a trade, and they traded him for Kevin Martin, I think, or something like that.
Well, and Jeremy Lin.
Something like that.
Not Jeremy Lin, Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, people forget, because that was a while ago, and he was the sixth man on that team and all of that.
That's right.
Like, people forget that James Harden was on those early OKC teams with Durant and Westbrook.
If you, I mean, if you look at those
teams. Look at those teams.
You almost wonder, like, whoa, how did they not win a final? And they only went to one.
Yep.
They had Serge Ibaka. You're right, they had that peak Thabo Sefolosha.
They only had those guys in, like, their, because they happened fast with their primes. They only had those guys for one run. Because I think after that run, Harden wanted out, and they wouldn't want to pay him, so he went to Houston.
That's right.
Right. And then Durant and Westbrook had their run, and then they lost down or up 3-1 to Golden State, right?
That's right.
And then Durant went to Golden State, and then Westbrook was the last man standing.
Yeah.
It was weird. This definitely feels built different from, like, a personality standpoint.
Totally different. Yeah. And I really like watching them play together. I still think Indiana might end up winning this whole thing.
That'd be wild.
Wow, they did.
Give a lot of markets hope around this league if Indiana wins it all.
No doubt.
I don't see
no doubt.
Thunder, boy.
Thunder are tough.
They're tough. We'll see you, though.
They're tough. Thank you, Mike.
Indiana on the road has been so good.
Thank you, Mike.
See you.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.